I'm sure you all know Douglas Lloyd-Jenkins, who's the director of the MTG, and we're just starting to learn about the new building, when it's going to be open and all those things. So without further ado, Douglas, thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm going to start with a disclaimer. It's wantonly promotional. And please don't think us rude, but we're going to exit quite quickly at the end of the talk. It's just that we're managing a very interesting situation. We have about 67 days until we open, so you can figure out the opening date. So things are a little chaotic, but I did want to come here today because I came a little while back and showed you plans of the building, and I did promise I would come and tell you a little bit more about the content. And so that's really what I want to talk about today. How many of you have done a drive past recently? Some of you obviously don't get connected quite often enough. The building is looking splendid and spectacular. We're getting wonderful feedback from it. Many of you will remember that very early on in the project, there was an earlier scheme for a museum that the press nicknamed the Armadillo. It's a large glass dome-shaped building that we're actually quite pleased we didn't build. Richard Daniels, our architect, has done a very lovely job of building a building in a heritage area, and now the building is there. People can understand the vision that we had to complete what is essentially Napier's Town Square with a fine building that obviously was not an Art Deco building but sat comfortably alongside Art Deco buildings. This motif that you can see on the screen is what we call our wrap, and this is what is currently wrapped around the glass facade of the building to prevent you seeing what's going on in between. Although it does have little round holes in it that allow you to peer in if you really want to. And really, this graphic image was created to illustrate to the passing public the complexity of the collection. And I've talked about this numerous times. We have the largest and, I think, most spectacular of the regional collections. And what people don't understand is just what areas are covered by that collection and which areas that we choose to profile. So there are items from the fine arts, the decorative arts, from history, from Tonga Māori, from military history. You name it and we've got it. You can understand that fundraising for this building has been quite a major effort, and we've got a lot of support from private sponsors. I got a phone call one day from the mayor, and she said, I'm bringing potential sponsors through next Friday. He has a personal interest in medieval German manuscripts. Thanks, Barbara. Go to my collection manager. She says, no problem. Comes back with a printed page from a very early German Bible. So it is really amazing what you can find in our collection when you have to. So the wrap is designed to really tell you the sort of museum we're going to be. Now, I'll start with the question that we're asked all the time, MTG, what does it mean, and why have we changed our name? MTG simply stands for Museum, Theatre and Gallery, the three cornerstones of our existence. Museum and archives, well-known component of what we do. Gallery, art gallery, also a very well-known component of what we do. But we always had this wonderful facility called the Century Theatre that was never properly profiled. And so we brought it up front and we're using the initials MTG. Initials are very common in the gallery world. The current sensation is an institution called MoNA, which you might think is a pretty weird name for a museum, MoNA. The Museum of Old and New Art in Hobart has revolutionised the museum world and revolutionised tourism in Hobart. In my own small way, I'm hoping to do the same thing in Napier. The National Gallery of Victoria is always referred to as the NGV. You will know MoMA and the V&A. So initials are very common in the museum and art gallery world. If you're very young, MTG stands for meeting. It's the tech symbol for meeting. If you're really, really old, it stands for mortgage. You can choose which of those groups you want to sit in with. I'm happy to say that the MTG doesn't have a mortgage. So let's go with meeting. Meeting place, meeting of ideas, meeting of cultures. Why did we transition out of Hawke's Bay Museum and Art Gallery? Well, in actual fact, this institution has been on site since the 1850s, and this is our seventh name. So we're used to shedding our skin. We also wanted to sort of leave behind maybe the sort of dowdiness of the Hawke's Bay Museum and Art Gallery. MTG Hawke's Bay still places us in the world, but it allows us to be a bit bigger and a bit more expansive. And it's been a very interesting experience for myself and my staff thinking about what the difference between Hawke's Bay Museum and Art Gallery and the MTG is. But there's a few people out there who are still getting their heads around it. I get it's not very catchy. It is catchy as long as you use it. Have you seen the new MTG? Are you going to the MTG? Use it, it'll catch on. Our branding people who came from Auckland said, you know they're just going to call it the museum, don't you? And I said, yes, I do know that, but I think it's important that we have this sort of name that reaches out to the wider world. One of the things that we're very, very pleased about, and one of the reasons that people maybe haven't had a close look at our building, is that there's a massive programme of roadworks going all around it. Marine Parade has been closed, Tennyson Street and Herschel Street still are closed, they're being rebuilt. I'm so happy that the council decided to time that prior to our opening, because there was talk at one point they were going to start just after we opened, which would have been incredibly helpful. But no, they're timing it, so it's all going to open looking beautiful. But one of the things that is really, really wonderful about our building is we now occupy an entire city block. And it's a wonderful sort of metaphor for just really what the museum is now, what the MTG is. And so in our left to right order, we have our lovely 1930s building by Louis Hay. And this is one of the real surprises of this redevelopment in that the emphasis has been on the new building, but the restoration of the Louis Hay is outstanding. I can't wait to show people, to reveal what it means to once again come up that proper Louis Hay staircase in through the beautiful oak doors and into the restored octagon, which is just looking spectacular. Those of you who remember the old Vestal Gallery, it now has a dado rail back. It's now back looking like a 1930s exhibition gallery, and it would be really, besides the Sergeant, one of the few in the country that's of that period. And that's going to be the emphasis of the Regional Archive. I'll talk about it in a minute. In the middle, we have, of course, the lovely Century, which is now called the MTG Century Theatre, built and designed by Guy Nartouche in the 1970s, an important work of late modernism, and one that we really wanted to preserve. So we've gone out of our way to make very minimal changes to the Century, but to bring the foyer space a bit more up to date and to allow better use of circulation. That's pretty much going to be home to our performing programme, which is now a big part of what we do. And of course, Richard Daniels' new building, which, as I say, designed to fit in, but not to be mistaken for Art Deco. I have occasionally followed the Art Deco tourist guides on the street, and they'll stand in front of something quite contemporary for a moment, and people say, is this Art Deco? I'm really hoping no one stands outside our building and says, is this Art Deco? We're in a funny position in that we don't have too many glamorous shots of our glamorous building yet. They're actually underway now. But I have got this nice little pointy bit here. But come and experience the building. We open with 14 exhibition and display spaces. It all depends how you count them. You can even force 15 out of that if you want to. And we're committed to 9 changing exhibitions a year. We often think of ourselves as a museum that behaves like an art gallery. So we have what people would think of as a museum collection. But it's constantly changing like an art gallery does. So we have a new show every 3 or 4 months. We'll be keeping up that rhythm. We only have one permanent exhibition, and that's the Earthquake. The Earthquake exhibition is brand new, and that will be up for 8 years because we have to hit the 90th anniversary in 8 years' time with a new show, and 10 years after that with a centennial show. So you can see we're committed to and planning the Earthquake exhibitions 18 years in advance. It's a bit sad. The wonder of this Earthquake exhibition is because we've been closed for 3 years and we've catalogued the collection, we now know a lot more about the earthquake than we did. And also, with the Christchurch earthquake, it's given us some good comparative things to look at. So that's going to be very interesting. I'm just going to take you through a couple of the shows. The entire upstairs floor, the first floor of the gallery, new building, consists of 4 galleries. And they're being put together and used together for one opening show, which is called Architecture of the Heart. And it looks at the way that New Zealand artists and creative people have considered notions of home and domesticity. One of the things that we wanted to do from day one was to show the collection to the people of Hawke's Bay. It's their collection. The Trust governs it on behalf of the people of the Bay. It's a fine, fine collection. And we wanted to start with something that really did reveal how good and how lovely it is. This exhibition takes a very sort of broad look at what it means when we say home. What do we actually mean from the 1910s and 20s when home didn't actually mean here at all in Britain, through to sort of more contemporary interpretations by recent migrant artists on what this word home might mean. So there's a wide range of works in there. On the left is a Gary Ball work called Waiting for Saturday Night. It's a local artwork, but that's actually, I think it's Keith Richards. It's one of the Rolling Stones, Waiting for Saturday Night, but a nice iconic 70s work. a beautifully carved letterbox, unknown origin. What better way of locating yourself from home than you are the space behind your letterbox? Ian Scott, as you may know, is an important New Zealand 60s and 70s artist who died just last week, so we'll kind of be the first institution up with an Ian Scott after his death, a lattice painting. Ian Scott has an interesting relationship to abstraction. You could actually go to him and get one of these to match your couch and cushions. The rule in art and decoration is always buy the painting first and then match your couch and cushions. Keep that in mind, but Ian Scott was always keen to play with that, so you could say to him, here's my couch and here's my cushions, I need a carpet, I need a lattice painted. So he was very much interested in that notion of home. And on the far right is a detail from Juliet Peters' painting, which is her own home, and painted in the 1950s in Nio in Wellington. And we've actually got a whole section about artists depicting their own homes, and it's really, really interesting. One of the things that I think if you were an artist in 20th century New Zealand, you often had to stay at home because your studio was at home, and so they tended to end up painting their own environment. So this show has got paintings, photographs, works of craft, works of design. It's got a few loans from the major collections, from Auckland Art Gallery and from Te Papa, but it is largely our collection, and it's looking better than ever before. We have spent a great deal of money on conservation, not only of paintings, which is relatively inexpensive, you'd be surprised, but of frames, which is horribly expensive. So things are going to look better than they've ever looked before. Things that you're familiar with, like Dalton Street Backyards by Roland Hipkins or Renaissance, some of those sort of works, are just looking sensational. Ukaipo is our new Tonga Māori show. Those of you who will be familiar with our previous exhibition, Ngāti Tokomata, that was up for 23 years, which is not a rotation schedule I'm very proud of. Only the last, well, I've got to admit, seven of those were my doing, but the decision, the commitment we've made is to bring Tonga Māori exhibitions on to the same rotation schedule as the rest of the gallery, so there'll be a new show approximately every year. Our collection is enormous. The Tonga Māori collection is four times larger than Rotorua's, so you'd imagine that Rotorua has a big Tonga Māori collection, and it does. Ours is four times larger again. So it's a collection that for 23 years we had a very small amount of work on display. And so we're now moving to this moving, changing schedule. This is the major new wing ground floor gallery. This exhibition is based upon the notion of nurture, and it's a splendid exhibition. It's just being installed now. I've never seen a Tonga Māori exhibition in the country that looks even anything close to it. We've just yesterday, quite literally, the walls of the gallery are made of folded paper, and we're just starting to pull them apart like a Chinese lantern almost. It's a really amazing thing. It's also been put together by an all-woman team, curator, kaitiaki, and designer, and that's really quite an innovation, and I think the notion of nurture is a really excellent one to start with. So, new works you've never seen before, a few favourites, and you can probably guess what the favourites are, but a new major push in that area. A lovely publication to go with it, and I would probably say that there are three books coming out. One, Architecture of the Heart, written by Lucy Hammonds and myself. A book to support this show, written by Ngoto and the third, Ngoto Iria, our curator, and the third book to come out with the archive show. So we're keeping up that reputation we've had for publishing. The 1931 Hawke's Bay Earthquake Show will occupy basement of the new wing. We learned from the old gallery that people quite like the sensation of a low, dark space for earthquakes, even though the Hawke's Bay earthquake came out of a bright, sunny morning. You can make an earthquake slightly more terrifying if the ceiling's only just there. So we put it back in the basement. We're not hiding it. That's just the best place for the experience. As I say, Eloise Taylor's done a marvellous research job here. We're going to untangle some of the myths around the earthquake, and we're going to start some new ones. Some new characters, some new people, some new ways of engaging. We've worked particularly hard with a new children's program around the earthquake. When the Christchurch earthquake happened, we were sort of a little concerned that, you know, we might be stressed. There's a joke around the gallery that the Hawke's Bay earthquake is New Zealand's best natural disaster. So basically, we didn't want to be knocked off. You know, for all the sadness of the earthquake, we didn't want to be knocked off that peg. But the interesting thing is that what Christchurch has done is regenerated interest in 1931 enormously. And the funny thing is, now that the country's had two major earthquakes, the academic and scholastic interest in earthquakes has gone right through the roof. So now both earthquakes are being studied for comparisons, not only geographically, but in terms of social history, how people responded. One of the interesting characteristics, I think, is that in the 1931 earthquake, this is Napier, I'm not quite sure about Hastings, but in Napier you've got a free new chimney, care of the council, and then you piped down. In the Christchurch earthquake, I think you're allowed on John Campbell's show every Wednesday, every night of the week at 7 o'clock. So the culture of maybe just getting on with things, you know, a free chimney and off you go, was the rule, at least for the Napier City Council. So it's quite a different environment. And of course, we have also learned from that through our research more about the reality of the trauma that also took place, and you know, a lot more detail has come out. So it's going to be a fascinating show. We've commissioned a special design from a Wellington designer for this. It's going to be very much an immersion experience. There's no shaky floor, that sort of stuff we've moved on from, but it's a great immersion experience. Again, there are some old favourites. Earthquakes is a bit of a funny thing, because the earthquake is like performance art. If you weren't there, you kind of missed it. And there's not a lot of evidence you can hold in your hand of an earthquake. I can give you a broken teacup and say this was broken in an earthquake, but you're just going to say, well, that's a broken teacup. We've certainly got some gifts that came in the 40s and 50s that were things broken in an earthquake, moved back together and given to the museum, but they don't look particularly interesting either. So it's been quite a challenge to figure out how to make this performance event, this moment that you had to be in, how to make it resonate 70-something years after its anniversary. One of the nicest things we discovered was the set of hand-coloured photographs taken just immediately after the earthquake by a leading photographer who went through and hand-coloured them. And it's really quite lovely because, whether intentionally or by accident, his colourisation of the city really beautifully matches Ron Hipkins' colourisation of the city in Renaissance. We're going to produce one of those Hawke's Bay earthquake in colour. You've all seen World War II in colour. We're going to do a Hawke's Bay earthquake in colour based around these photographs. Oh, and this is a recent acquisition, which is fantastic. We've got a phone call from Scotland. Would you like the Morse code key from the Veronica that sent the message to the world of the earthquake? And of course, we said, nah, I'm not interested. We said, get it out here as fast as you can. And this is one of the fantastic things about this project, is that we're getting phone calls from around the world and from around the country saying, I think you are the natural home for this. And that has transcended Hawke's Bay people. Sometimes it's people like this who have a connection. This person's grandfather or father was on the Veronica and sent the message. But sometimes it's just people who have got something precious that are looking at our website, reading about us in the paper and saying, this just seems the right fit. As many of you all know, I'm quite involved in the history of fashion. We got an offer quite recently for an actual, real, one-off Christian Dior ball gown from 1965 that this woman had had made in Paris in the salon for her at a cost more than the price of a small car. She wore it once to an Auckland event that maybe you've all heard of called the Pakaranga Hunt Ball, which was Auckland's most spectacular social event of the mid-60s. And during the supper, she took one bite of a chocolate eclair and the cream went right to the brand new Christian Dior's pale blue silk ball gown. Husband went ballistic, screamed and yelled at her, and she never ever wore the dress again. And I think all the women in the audience can understand that story, the trauma. And she rang up to me, I think you're the home for this dress. And I said, yes, we're the home for this dress. Because that is a story that, it's not a Hawke's Bay story, but there isn't a Hawke's Bay woman in the mid-60s that wouldn't have done a lot of things to get a Christian Dior original. Our tourist audience are going to love seeing it, and that story resonates with everybody. You can understand what that really meant. And so we're getting all these sort of great things coming into the collection, some much too late to be up on day one. What we're trying to do with this MTG is step up, be a national player in some key areas, one of which is the history of costumes. There are two archive exhibition galleries. Now, you remember the regional archive was the space behind the reception desk, and it is the home of local history research. It was, you know, about as big as this. The regional archive now occupies the entire 1930s building. So it's 50 times bigger. And this is a real commitment from us to the history of the region. Strangely and perversely, because we're as old as the provinces itself, we use the provincial government boundaries of the 19th century rather than the regional council boundaries. I say flippantly that gives us Woodville and gives us Lindower. Otherwise he'd be a what is that? Artist. So that's partly the logic, but there are other logics. We have this incredible holding. It is really amazing holding. It is the place to come for local history research, and now we can do it on a grand scale. So what you'll remember is the McLean Room Gallery, the little gallery that used to be in the centre of the Octagon. That is now called the Bernard Chambers Reading Room, and that's a much larger scale library, reading room, research environment. The old Moulton Gallery, which we moved the name McLean to, is now the actual archive store. You'll remember when Gail went off to get something, she'd be gone for quite some while before she came back. Now she's got to pop through the next room, and indeed there's someone in that room handing the material. The old Octagon, which is now completely restored, has four new exhibition cases in, which will profile holdings from the collection. But the big thing is that the Bestel Gallery next door is now a dedicated, committed regional history gallery. So the content of that gallery will be driven by the history of the region, be a changing exhibition, but it means that we can just tell the region's stories again and again. One of the things that we were hearing from tourists particularly is that it seemed that Hawke's Bay didn't have a history before 1931. We were pushed to really show that history. We do have this regional obligation, so we want to talk about the other parts of the region, and so we've made this commitment to the Institution of Local History. Right, we're opening with a nice ironic title. It's called Take These With You When You Leave, Treasures of the Archive. This is a great project. We were supported by the Regional Council as 150th anniversary of the history of local government in the region, which happened while we were closed. They've sponsored a lovely publication here. As I say, it's got this nice ironic title, Take These With You When You Leave, Treasures of the Archive. The Regional Council were great. They just said, we want you to look at the treasures in the archive, but they didn't kind of give us any definition of treasure. And so we hired a curator from Wellington, Georgina White. She's actually been up working with us for almost 2 years on this project. She's spoken here, hasn't she? And she did some focus groups here as well with local historians. Wonderful curator. She decided to look at the 19th and early 20th century and ask what the people of that time considered to be a treasure and why. What did they treasure? So it's not a show in which there's a lot of gilding or flashy diamonds or anything like that. It's a show about the ordinary things that people think are important to them through the 19th and early 20th century. And so there's some wonderful, wonderful work in it. Far left, that's called The Good Ship Surge, which is a little tiny watercolour of the ship Surge that brought the Napier artist Alfred Hardy Finnis to Hawke's Bay. This little object is a kind of paperweight type ball thing that you could insert little tin type photographs of your family into. This is the cover to a lovely embryotype or daguerreotype image, and this is one of our great treasures. It's actually both, manages to be in two places at once, in both Georgina's show and in Architecture of the Heart, and these are the diaries of Alfred Chapman, who was a central Hawke's Bay settler who kept a beautiful diary, but he illustrated it with the most beautiful illustrations. And this is actually the story of the two brothers, it's either him or the brother, who ordered a cornopean, a sort of trumpet type thing, his journey to go and get it when it arrived, I think in Whanganui. But what Georgina's talking about is what it meant to early settlers to have music in their lives. That's what they treasured. They couldn't bring their pianos. Someone did. Jane Campion bought hers. But, you know, what it meant to have music. And, you know, one of the nice things, too, is that you will remember that there's always been piano in the gallery, and that the Bechstein piano will be back in the gallery. They'll be playing some of the valued music from this period. So that's a lovely thing for us. Beautiful, beautiful book. Proofs have just come back a couple of days ago, so we're all tremendously excited. Now, because we don't exist yet, we are living in the virtual world. If you haven't been to our website, do have a look. It really does tell you what we're going to be doing and what we're up to. But from an archive point of view, the big change here is you can now look up the catalogue for the archive online. So you can come to us knowing what it is you want to look at. You can sit at home, say, have they got any material on my family, or, you know, the grandfather's firm, or whatever, and then you can come to us having printed it out, you can email it to us, and we can have it ready for you, or you can know, you know, whether it's worth coming in to see us, and you can plan your trip. And of course that's for people outside town as well, so anyone from around the world can go on, check whether we've got the material. So this is an enormous enormous change from Gail having to say, yes, I know it's somewhere. I think I've seen it. And this has been one of the real advantages of being closed. People have been saying to me, what are you doing? Having a holiday. We've got the largest single lotteries grant of the 2012-13 year to catalogue the archive. They came on board. We've had a staff of up to about 6 people working on it. They're all recent museum graduates in their 20s, you know, their first job, so we then had to teach them to spell. But we've done that as well. What we didn't realise is we then had to teach them grammar after we taught them to spell, but hey, we got there. We're pretty proud of it. It's looking great. Do go on, it's live now.
Probably next week. Early next week.
Go on sometime soon. You can't go online and find this. There's not a picture of it. You can go online and you'll see a description. So the reveal is you have to come and trust him. There are lots of photos, and that's one of the other nice things. There's some lovely collection of highlights on this as well. So you can go in and look at the best aspects of the collection that we put online. And we really want to grow this. It's really where we want to go. We've made a decision that because we're such a strong applied arts institution, you go with our applied arts first and strongest, but this lovely, lovely stuff. When Pam revealed this to me when it was first live, I went on and I thought, oh, we're a growing up museum. We've moved the institution into the 21st century. We are now doing what's quite common in other museums. We're not particularly pushing boundaries, but we're there. We're there as a 21st century digital institution. We have a very, very active public program. So it's not just about our exhibitions. It's about opening events, lectures, workshops, special film. I get asked a lot. We're not reopening the Century Cinema on a weekly film showing basis, because we really do need to acknowledge that Cinema Gold does a fantastic job here, and the Globe does a fantastic job in Napier. The Globe seats 30 people, we seat 300 people. It just is no longer viable for us to show a film to 6 or 8 people. You know, some of you will have gone to see, I've had this experience a number of times with Cinema Gold, you actually think you're the only people in the theatre, and then 2 seconds before the film starts, 2 more people come in. But, you know, we were like that. We were showing films to 9 or 10 people in a 300-seat cinema. It's just no longer viable. But we realise how much people love seeing films of the century. It's the proper film experience. And so we're keeping the film festivals, the International Film Festival and the Italian Film Festival, and we will be adding to that with other film festivals. So it'll be more an events-based cinema where you come for a concentrated period of time rather than wandering down on a Thursday or Friday night. Also, in the time that we've closed, technology has changed and film is now no longer film. Film is now digital. The process of upgrading to ensure that we can deliver contemporary film. And a big school holiday program, we currently do about 8,000 students a year. We're expecting that number to go through the roof when we open. We've kept our education program running while we've been closed, but we're expecting those numbers to really go through the roof, and we've got a lovely education suite within the building now. Everywhere you go at the moment, you'll find one of these on your seat, because Pam and I have been extremely active. We really encourage people to join the Friends. There is a charge when we reopen. It's no surprise, I think, to say that charge is going to be $15. Friends membership of $45 means you can come every weekend for 86 cents. It's a great deal. If you actually exploit your Friends membership, we've estimated between $400 and $500 of benefits for $45. Please understand that every cent of your entry charge goes back into running the museum. None of it goes into the general fund of Napier City Council. We spend this money bringing things to you. If we stop charging, then we bump down to the budget of a very small museum. So you are supporting us by coming, but you're supporting us by being a friend. So everywhere you go, now there's a special deal. Pam, what's the special deal?
Join before the 21st and get $5 off.
So $40 if you join before the 21st of September. So it's a great deal. And then just finally, I think this is actually probably the first privileged public reveal. The 21st of September is our opening weekend. That's our first day open to the public. It's a Saturday. So you are the first to know that it's actually the 21st. It's a big day for us, as I say, 60-something days on our countdown. We're going to be there. We're being positive and optimistic. We've got a lot to do. But it's going to be splendid. I really do believe that the MTG will be the flagship of Hawke's Bay tourism, but also the flagship of sort of cultural endeavour. The MTG is a very smart place. but it's a very warm and welcoming one. We know that. And as I say, it's a meeting place of friends, meeting place of ideas. It's a beautiful building. We've got a superb opening program. And, you know, I look around this room and I know that you're going to be there because while you're here on a freezing cold morning, we've got central heating. But I just really need you to be talking to your friends about how exciting it is and how worthwhile it really is going to be. So that's me.
Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Well, families and things join up?
Yes, children under 15 are free. So it's only adults that pay, and there is a family rate, there's a couple's rate in here. You know, we are doing our very best to get people in and, you know, make this really work. There's what they call a cup of coffee economy. You know, how many cups of coffee is the gallery worth to you? And I can tell you in Auckland now, a cup of coffee is getting up around $5. And two or three cups of coffee, I reckon, is worth it for the old museum and I go.
Do you have a cafe in the museum?
We will be having a cafe. We'll probably be doing it on a pop-up basis when we open, which just means a very simple coffee and cake stop. But we will be developing a more sophisticated one in due process. There are add-ons coming, so it's like with six you get steak knives. We're opening in September, but right through the summer we have different add-ons coming. We'll be revealing different programs, different parts of the building. One of our plans is to occupy a lot more of Herschel Street and to have a changing program of contemporary art in Herschel Street. That'll roll out late next summer rather than in the cold spring of September.
So, Douglas, you're
wondering
last year, backstage of the theatre, is it better than it was?
The Century Theatre remains essentially unchanged. You won't recognise very much. Basically, there's been no maintenance since 1976, and I don't know how many of you have got a bathroom that dates from 1976, but it needs to be done.
Can we join? Can we get
our
information online?
Yes, Pam runs our e-news service that keeps you up to date. We also run a rather lovely blog, which is the staff talking about the process of us getting ready. Some lovely stuff on that, because we've got more in-depth experience about being involved with the gallery. We are also going to be rolling up a volunteers program, because we are going to need some assistance. We're a dramatically larger institution, so we're going to need some specialist people that are keen to do an hour or two on the do not touch front. And you might like to come in and be schooled in how best tell people to get their mitts off the arm, which is, you know, a really nice way of involving yourself in the gallery. So all of those things are being rolled out.
Douglas, thank you very much indeed for a very entertaining as well as informative talk, and we must all remember MTG. It's almost easier than trying to say,
that's one of our problems, is that we had this incredibly long, thin name we could never fit in anywhere.
Yes. And I'm one of the ones that think of mortgage. But thank you very much indeed, and I do appreciate the fact that you've come today, because I know you must be absolutely frantic with all the things that you need to do and get done before the 21st of September. But again, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.